This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you with us. As we observe the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision on abortion that was passed back in the early 70s, we are going to be taking the mic today to talk with Maria Gallagher. She's the education director at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. In fact, Maria has been our guest many times in the past over the last couple of decades. And each year at this time, we do ask her to join us and share an update on the state of the pro-life movement. Maria, thanks for being with us on the program again. Maria, let's get an update first on the situation. From reading your publications recently, it sounded kind of like you felt like it was you got some good news on the Supreme Court, bad news in the Congress, and good news in the Senate. So, give me kind of an update on the state of the government and how that affects the pro-life issue.
Certainly, we do have a mixed blessing as far as the government is concerned. We're very happy that we have a pro-life president, and we have made great progress under that pro-life president. Unfortunately, the U.S. House of Representatives is now in pro-abortion hands, which is going to present a challenge for us. But the U.S. Senate is in pro-life hands, and so we think that we can continue to get good, strong, strict constructionist judges on the federal courts. The U.S. Supreme Court saw the ascendance of Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, who are both considered to be strict constructionists, meaning that they won't be making laws from the bench. And that's really good news. On the state level, unfortunately, we have a governor who's very pro-abortion and who tries to pursue a pro-abortion ideology in office, which is rejected by the vast majority of Pennsylvanians. But the Pennsylvania House and Senate are both in pro-life hands, so that's very encouraging.
And we've always talked about how were the Supreme Court to overturn Roe, it would go to the states. But now you also have a number of the states which have switched hands as well, legislature-wise, correct?
That is true. We have a number of states that are at challenge at this point. But we have another election in 2 years, and who knows what's going to happen then. So actually less than 2 years. We're heading into 2020 now. So we'll see what progress we can make. We're fortunate in that even if we don't have all of the various branches of government in our favor, we can always do education, and we can change hearts and minds that way.
There was a ruling just in the last few months from the Supreme Court regarding Planned Parenthood. I can't recall the details, but the interesting part to me was that Justice Kavanaugh did vote with Planned Parenthood, basically. So any concerns about that and how that might bode for the future rulings?
Well, that case involved Medicaid funding and whether states could cut off Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood. So it might not have been a strict decision on abortion. So we're still hopeful on that front that the U.S. Supreme Court will ultimately overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, it may take another justice on there to do that, and that could happen really any time because the justices are advanced in age, a number of them, and we could see some more retirements. So we're still very hopeful.
Okay. Would you say, like, compared to 10 years ago, how positive and how energized are you regarding the state of the government?
I think we are more positive and energized right now than we were 10 years ago, because 10 years ago, we had a very pro-abortion president, and we had the passage of Obamacare, which provided for taxpayer funding of abortion unless individual states opted out. Now, fortunately, Pennsylvania did opt out of that abortion funding. And so there is no abortion funding under the health insurance exchange created in Pennsylvania under Obamacare. And we're very proud of that. But with a pro-life president in office, that gives us a lot of encouragement. And we have also seen where abortions in Pennsylvania are at their lowest level ever on record. So that gives us a great deal of encouragement. So I think that we are as energized, if not more energized now than we were 10 years ago.
Give me some ideas of what the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation does to advocate, and what individuals can do that share your goals.
Well, the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is deeply involved in advocacy on the state level. We advocate for pro-life bills, and we fight anti-life bills, and we've been very successful at that. I mean, we saw where we passed the Abortion Control Act, and that cut abortions in half in Pennsylvania. We also passed the Abortion Center Regulation Law, which requires abortion facilities to follow basic health and safety standards, the same standards that govern other outpatient facilities. And we have seen where 6 abortion facilities closed their doors because they either could not or would not meet these basic health and safety standards. We also, as I said, opted out of abortion funding in the health insurance exchange created in Pennsylvania under Obamacare. So we are heavily involved in advocacy. Individuals can do quite a lot, because even though I can spend many hours at the state capitol, it really takes the grassroots to make things happen. And they can do so by contacting their lawmakers. Their lawmakers are very interested in what they have to say and what they believe. So they can email, they can call, they can visit their lawmakers, they can share information with their lawmakers. There are many things that individuals can do to promote a culture of life.
I'm sure you've heard this in people saying, well, you're just trying to take away choice. You're not going to help the baby once the baby's born. How do you respond to people like that? What is the pro-life movement doing to, take it a step further?
Sure. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is committed to safeguarding every innocent human life from conception to natural death. So we care about life all along the spectrum. And what a lot of people might not know is that the many pregnancy help centers around the state help the mother and the child up to a year or more after the birth of the child. So they're providing real material support, diapers, formulas, parenting classes, life skills classes, really hands-on experience to help the woman and her child. And I know of individual pro-lifers who have adopted children, who have fostered children, who work at soup kitchens, who help out at homeless shelters. Pro-life people are the salt of the earth, and they are really caring about people all along life spectrum.
What are the attitudes of the public? I know we've talked about this in the past, but how much is the public in support of the pro-life message?
Well, actually, if you look at public opinion polls and you really drill down, you will see that most people oppose most abortions. Let me repeat that. Most people oppose most abortions. So people are generally in our favor. The problem lies in the fact that many people are uneducated about Roe versus Wade, and they don't really know what Roe versus Wade was, that it was a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that brought us abortion on demand for any reason or for no reason during all 9 months of pregnancy. They don't know the extent of Roe, and so that's our challenge. We need to educate people about Roe and its effects.
But wouldn't you agree that even people who say they believe in the right to have an abortion, that it's not that they, people tend to look at them and say, why do you hate babies? Why do you want to kill babies? But I mean, it's kind of this deep thought of just wanting people to have a right over their own body. Well, how do you explain that? I mean, it sounds like it would be difficult to go out and say, well, I don't think you have the right. I mean, how do you get that message through?
Well, I think that a lot of it is education about the development of the unborn child. People have a right to defend their bodies, no question about it. But when we talk about an unborn child, we're talking about a second body, and that body needs to be cherished and preserved and protected. People generally don't know about the development of the unborn child, that the child's eyes develop at 19 days after conception, that brain waves can be detected 43 days after conception, that the heart beats 24 days after conception. Now, thankfully, through developments such as 4D ultrasound, more and more people are seeing the developed child in the womb and they're fascinated by it. I mean, we see in ultrasounds where a baby might be playing with her toes, as was the case with my daughter. So we're seeing babies in a way that we never saw them before with the technological breakthrough of ultrasound. So I think that hearts and minds are being changed through that.
And I know one of the directors of a pregnancy center here in our listening area had told me how when the people see the ultrasound, it's just such an impact to say, wow, this kind of changes my thought process.
Absolutely. When people see that ultrasound, they see a real human being. And also it helps to secure the bond between the mother and the child. The mother at that point might not have felt the baby kicking, so it might be difficult for her to bond with the child. But once she sees that ultrasound and sees that face, how can she turn away?
Any other information you can give for people who would like to get involved either with this organization or, you know, with their local groups trying to achieve the same goals?
Well, you can just go to our website at paprolife.org, and you can be connected with local chapters in your area. And these chapters are involved in all sorts of things, from breakfast to banquets to baby bottle drives to baby showers for their local pregnancy centers. I believe that people might not realize how many people there are throughout the nation who believe that innocent children need to be protected in their mother's wombs, that women need to be protected from abortion, that fathers have unfortunately lost fatherhood through abortion, that elderly people are at risk because of euthanasia. There are so many people who are willing to advocate for life, and we need to connect those people to one another.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.